This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Sonia Hammer for Joy 94.9. One of our special interview highlights is with Roberta Chabara, talking about Parker Posey. It's for In Praise of Parker Posey, runs from the 13th of March to the 28th of March. A spotlight on the it girl, Parker Posey, the American queen of the indies, indie films that is, and a favourite 90s party girl. The New Yorker has called her the greatest character actress of the last few decades, and we can only agree with that here on Joy 94.9. You're with Sonia Hammer, and here's our interview with Roberta Chabara, curator at the ACMI here in Melbourne Town. Enjoy.
Okay, this is an interview with Darla.
Okay, Darla, at the big high school, what's your scene? What's Darla's scene? What's your scene there? Who do you hang out with?
My scene at the high school, which I love. I can't stand it. I'm pretty much a loner. Like, I really don't like anyone. I like the people, they like me, they think I'm bad and stuff, but I like the guys at the junior college, really, like the older people.
Wow.
Like, I'm head cheerleader, but I'm really not into it. Yeah, I just do it so we can be funky and dance and stuff. But I really don't enjoy it. I really don't have a scene. I don't think there's really a scene at the high school that I go to. Well, I think, like, that the girls were jealous of me when I was a freshman because I kind of got the older guys and stuff. The incoming freshman girls, they deserve to get, you know, what I did and what we went through. And it's just fun. It's just good fun.
What is it about you that made you qualified to be the head freshman?
I'm just bad, honey. I'm just bad. That's all there is about
it.
I just really... I've been through a lot of stuff.
It don't much matter who forgives who. What? What did I do that was so wrong? Wanted my daughter to grow up to be a mama of her own with a house full of babies and a decent man to cherish and take care of. You just didn't want the boys around, Rachel. What kind of girl doesn't want to meet a nice fella? But you wouldn't have it. You wouldn't have any of it. And so you ran. You ran and tore a chapter out of your family's life. And a piece out of my heart. I was screaming, Mama. But you couldn't hear me. And you couldn't see me for who I was. I didn't want your life. I didn't want to be in the kitchen with the brisket or the fish balls or the crab lock or the kugel or go out with the boys that turn into men that I don't want to marry. It was all for start. I am not you, Mama. I am me, Rachel Pisher. I was married in a blackout. I'm serious. I was 19 years old. I was married for 6 weeks. Yeah. I was married to this guy named Wild Bob. That was his full name, Wild Bob. So I guess I was Mrs. Wild Bob. Hi, everyone. Welcome to my life. Do you, Debbie, take Wild Bob to be your lawfully wedded husband? I do. God, he was a rock musician like Greg Allman. And what could I do? I'm a sucker for musicians. Yeah. But it took me 2.5 years to get 90 days of sobriety. I don't know, I think it was pissed off that I didn't grow up in the 60s and party with Janis Joplin, you know what I mean? And everyone had that long hair and the music was great, peace, love, the clothes, you know? I think what I was doing, I was trying to relive
the 60s, in the 80s, and it just didn't work out for me. You know, I got stuck somewhere in the middle. But God, I wanted to be Janis Joplin so bad. So bad, man. She was great. She was so great. God, she was incredible. And now it's over. Oh, my God. I'm so sad. No, I'm strange. I'm a strange bird. I know. I'm weird.
We met at Starbucks. Not at the same Starbucks, but we saw each other at different Starbucks across the street from each other. And Hamilton got up the courage to walk across the street one day and approached me.
Yeah. I'd seen you at law school before.
Yeah.
And I know that sometimes I'd be in one Starbucks and then you'd be in the other Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And then I think maybe, you know, I should go over to that Starbucks next weekend and then you'd be at the other Starbucks. So we kind of crossed. I know, it's just so stupid.
It's so
now.
Good.
Ugh. I remember what I was drinking when I met you. It was a grande espresso.
That's right, and I thought that was really sexy.
Yeah.
I was drinking cappuccinos.
I remember.
And then I went to lattes, and then now double espresso, macchiato. Right.
And I'm now a big old, you know, chai tea latte, soy milk kind of guy.
Oh, soy, yeah.
Because of the lactose.
Mm-hmm. And I'm lactose intolerant now.
Mm-hmm. And I walked across the street, and there you were, and oh my
gosh.
Working
on my Mac.
And I had my Mac. Oh. And there, and then I look over, and she's reading J. Crew. It was so weird because I was such a huge J. Crew person then too.
Mm-hmm.
Still am.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes like to just go to Starbucks on weekends and take an L.L. Bean catalog, and I'll say, "Honey, what's new?" And she has 5 minutes to look through and find out what's new.
We've been around forever. We are so lucky. We are so lucky to have been raised amongst. My monologue, and Billy, it's Susan. I was going through my trunk of souvenirs and I found this doll. The doll we used to play with before the war, before you went insane. You were sitting on that quilt that had at one time kept us warm. And the quilt was so worn, Billy, and it smelled of mothballs, which brought back all those memories of the times that we spent in the attic, locked up with Muffin. And you told us that Mother was wrong, and we were right, didn't you, Muffin? And I took care of you and Billy. But Billy was much more trouble than you, wasn't he, Muffin? Especially when he got to be bigger than Susan and made her do things she did not want to do. Things that made her sick. And Mother pretended she didn't know, but she did. Well, who's lying in a bed in an insane asylum? Plugged into a life support system. And who's wearing fine jewels and expensive clothes? And whose husband accidentally died just recently and left me all his money? And whose husband just accidentally died and left her all his money? And who's on top and who's on bottom now, huh? Who's on top and who's on bottom now? I'll see you in hell, Billy. But at least I'm gonna have some fun before I get there. Scene.
This is Sonia for Joy 94.9 and talking to the wonderful Roberta Shabara. She's come all the way from the Australian Centre of the Moving Image to chat to us about In Praise of Parker Posey.
What a lovely introduction. Thank you for making me feel so welcome.
Considering my voice is a bit crackly. So what actually do you do at ACMI?
What do I do? I'm one of the film programmers there in our film programs team. Yep, so there's three dedicated full-time programmers.
Right, fabulous. And for this one, In Praise of Parker Posey.
Yes.
What's your role there?
I put the season together, so I guess I'm the programmer, curator, whatever you want to call me.
Fan, I presume a fan.
A fan, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely that. And probably someone I feel I've grown up with a little bit, just in terms of being there for a lot of the first release films.
True.
Back in the 90s, you know, seeing them in cinemas when the independent film sector was so vital
booming,
and healthy.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
American cinema, it was really booming. It was a bit like the 70s. Mm. But that's another story. Of course, it runs, it's been running Sunday the 13th of March to the 28th of March 2016.
Yep. We're taking in two long weekends. So Labor Day weekend we kick off and we go through to Easter Monday, the 28th
perfect.
Of March. Yeah.
That's when you can break open your chocolate eggs if you're that way inclined.
Oh, yeah, there will be chocolate consumed.
Parker Posey eggs. Now, look, the first time I came across her, I must say, was actually the Christopher Guest film Waiting for Guffman.
Ah, yes.
It's not in the agenda.
Oh, it breaks my heart. There is no longer a print available locally, and by locally we mean in Australia.
Wow.
And
I think I've got it. VHS at home, if you want it.
That isn't presentation quality, and you know
really?
It. So, no, things like that, you know, I'm very, really pleased with the season that we have and the 10 feature films that are
that's pretty
in
amazing,
it.
Yep.
That's one of the disappointments. We knew who the rights holder was. There's still an Australian distributor attached, but no film print here. Mm. And there was a really quick turnaround on this one. I had to kind of have it signed and sealed and delivered to marketing in about 6 weeks. While other things were happening, and you know, budgets are modest, and so when you kind of get up to that bit of the budget, you kind of go, how many more prints can we import from overseas? Quite a few prints are coming from overseas, because with films from the 90s, we're sort of stuck now. A lot of prints from the 90s here in Australia have been, you know, deaccessioned or culled because they're no longer in good condition. Mm. And not everything is available in a DCP, a digital cinema package. So the 90s is one of those real crunch points for programming. But I think we've done really well.
Where have they been located, most of them? In the US or...?
Oh, well, Australian distributors would have had prints for the period that they held a local distribution deal, but those deals lapse, and oftentimes when those contracts lapse, the prints are deaccessioned. And sometimes
sounds awful.
It is. I know. It's
what
such
does that
a,
mean?
It means they're junked. It means they're destroyed. And, you know, some of them are no longer in a good screening condition anyway, but some of them are
might
just willfully destroyed because,
it's painful.
You know, the rights have reverted to someone overseas. Mm. But anyway, this is all getting very technical,
I know,
isn't
sorry.
It? I'm sorry.
No, that's good. Our listeners love to hear a bit of that too. But In Praise of Parker Posey, is it something that's been brought from overseas as a package, or has it been developed here?
No. Very much a product of our film programs unit. A couple of years ago, I don't know if you saw Parker Posey, she had this semi-recurring role on Louis C.K.'s series. I think it was season 3. 3, where she appeared as sort of a potential new girlfriend, and they had this interesting kind of story arc over 3 or 4 episodes.
No, I missed that.
I saw that on free to air, and I remember being struck then and just thinking, Parker Posey, where has she been? Why isn't she seen more widely? Why doesn't she appear in more things? I actually think she's on the cusp of something. She has 4 or 5 features that are in post-production now that are going to be out this year, including a new Christopher Guest film. So when you mentioned Waiting for Guffman, there's a new one, I think, called Mascots. But that will be going to Netflix.
He hasn't done anything for ages. Oh, well, no, it feels like it.
No, I don't think he has. Wrong. We have, let's see, we're screening Best in Show from 2000.
Yes.
And the other one that I love is For Your Consideration from 2006. Mm. So I don't think the ensemble has been together for one of
was
those.
Was she in The Mighty Wind or...?
Yes, she was. Yeah. I think she played a ukulele or a mandolin or something. She she was adorable.
What I love about her is that I know that you said she's on the cusp or something, but to me that she's that kind of actress, the American actress, that kind of doesn't need to be on anything. Like, she's got this interesting character role career that's been more than that as well. Like, she's got lead roles too, and they are like in the independent realm, and that's kind of made her incredibly, I think, special.
Yeah.
Because she's not in any Star Wars film coming out soon that I know of.
That I,
one
well,
thing.
Yes.
She's not been in a great big blockbuster.
Yeah. You
except
feel like
maybe Dazed and Confused. That was a blockbuster for independent, I think. But not,
yes, but it
still
was still
commercial.
Still
enough.
Exactly. Mm. Still very much kind of cult and indie.
So she's kind of still cult.
She is, and she has you're right. And I think there's not this sense of her being squeezed into a persona that she's not comfortable with, and you know that may explain why she doesn't turn up in more kind of mainstream roles. She's probably perfectly happy doing the films that she does.
Interesting roles,
exactly. That she works with interesting filmmakers.
Hal Hartley,
Noah Baumbach, Kicking and Screaming from 1995, before he met Greta Gerwig, of course.
Yeah, right, the muse.
The latest muse. There's another muse in Kicking and Screaming, Olivia Dalbo, who was in the Wonder Years a very long time ago. So he's clearly has an eye for the blondes, and that's okay. but, you know, she made a romantic comedy, ostensibly, in 2007. Called Broken English, which is our kickoff film on March 13, directed by Zoe Cassavetes, one of John Cassavetes' daughters.
Yeah, because there's the other one, Zan.
Zan, that's
who
right.
Who did Kiss of the Damned, which is fabulous.
That's right, yes.
Because, I mean, I love horror, so...
Yeah, that's a really
great vampire.
Sexy film.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Yes.
Yeah.
Milo Ventimiglia from the Gilmore Girls pops up in...
Heroes. He was in Heroes.
Oh, yeah. I remember Heroes, but I didn't really get into Heroes.
I got in through the box sets, but anyway, I digress. Of course, it's also got Roxanne Mosqueda, who's this wonderful French-Italian genre actress.
Yeah.
So she's...
So Broken English is ostensibly a rom-com, but you know it's from the independent sector again, so it's sort of edgier than your average rom-com, and I think that's a really comfortable space for Parker Posey to operate in.
Yeah,
but you still think you just hope she's as happy with her career as the rest of us are, you know. And you know, Woody Allen, clearly, I mean, it took him, you know, however long it took him to finally cast her in one of his films. It just seemed like something that should have happened a long time ago.
Overlooked.
But clearly they got along well enough making Irrational Man with Joaquin Phoenix that she's actually in the new Woody Allen film that will come out later this year, Untitled Project 2016, which is what they're known as until they're actually released.
I see, Oh, interesting. Yeah, For Your Consideration as well.
Yeah, I love that one. That's sort of set in Hollywood in the lead up to the Oscars.
Yeah.
So it's quite scathing, actually. I mean, this is the great thing. She plays it straight and she's funny as heck, but, you know, it's actually quite a lacerating satire on the whole kind of celebrity game.
Mm. Well, I think maybe a preemptor to something like Hail Caesar. The Coen brothers, so certainly they're not in a good light right at the moment, like diversity, etc.
Yes.
But you can never say that Parker Posey's career hasn't been diverse. It certainly has.
No. And you don't have this sense of her, you know, kind of selling out or...
Exactly.
Just going through a hack phase. You know that terrible moment when actors you really love, you just go, oh, they're clearly in
Robert
their hack
De Niro.
Phase. They're just... Anthony Hopkins. Yeah. You just go, oh, they're just in it for the money at this point.
Clearly, and, for a retirement package or something. That's a dreadful thing to say, but true. You never see her going to that sort of level, which is
and as I say, I'm so glad she has four or five films coming out this year because, in interviews I've read and watched on YouTube, it seemed like maybe there was a dry spell or a period where she thought, well, I'm at that tricky age. You know, she's 46 or 47.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she may have been wondering how viable her career as an ongoing actress
and
may be.
And this is the thing for women actors, particularly in the Hollywood and the American cinema machine.
Yes.
That must be something. But I reckon she's got a good position, certainly.
I think so too, and it's interesting that roles like the ones she played on Louis and in Irrational Man and in Broken English, their roles were actually her character gets to grapple with some of those realities as well, whereas you imagine they would be completely kind of airbrushed out of anything that was going out through a major studio.
What I find really fascinating too about her is her comedic timing is always perfect. Like, she can be in some very dark, quite serious type of films. Faye Grimm being one of them. Quite a searching, bizarre sequel to Henry Fool by Hal Hartley, I think. And then, of course, the last one in that film, Ned Ryford, where she really is pretty much not in the film, but she's in the prison, but she has some of the most funniest parts.
Doesn't she?
In that prison.
Yes.
You know?
And I think she shot those scenes in something like a day or two, like her time was really limited. So, there wasn't a lot of buffer built in, and she just delivers.
She just smashes it, as
She does. I'm so happy that we have the Hal Hartley trilogy because Ned Ryford wasn't always a sure bet. And I guess, yes, in terms of the trilogy, Faye Grimm is that character's film, and that's quite interesting. We would have screened it even if we hadn't been able to include Ned Ryford, just because she's so wonderful in Faye Grimm. But it's great to have the trilogy, and so we're screening that twice all three films on Good Friday, and then again on Easter Saturday.
Oh.
So I'm really hoping people will kind of take the chance to see Ned Ryford theatrically.
And the interesting thing is too. Does she know this is happening?
She does.
Well, how does she feel about being the centre of attention?
I don't know.
Has anyone asked her?
No, I may go back. I've had a little bit of contact with her agent in New York City, and she's aware of... We got a lot of love on the Twitter sphere, when the media release went out, and she's on Instagram, so I started following her on Instagram.
Cool.
So I think Hal Hartley also on Facebook and Instagram posted the media release. So I think, word has gotten back to her, but I don't have a direct line to her.
Maybe
I'll go back. Her agent seems very nice, and, you know, agents are notoriously cagey, so I may just go back.
They protect what do you call it?
Talent?
Their talent. I was going to say their prey, But that's very good to know that she's obviously...
I hope she's pleased. You know, it's all in the title, in praise of, you know. We love her. We think she's great. So,
I think, the standout for me too is also in Richard Linklater's Dazed and Confused.
What haven't we talked about? Just quickly so we can touch on things. The trilogy, Irrational Man, the Christopher Guest films, Dazed and Confused, Kicking
Personal
and Screaming.
Velocity.
Personal Velocity, three portraits. So glad you mentioned it.
By a woman as well.
It is Rebecca Miller, who's married. I mean, we shouldn't define people by who they're married to, but I can't help but say she was smart enough.
As the man with the left foot,
Daniel Day-Lewis. They're together, and they've had.
I hope he washes. Like, he didn't wash for the Crucible. Did you know that?
He turned into a cobbler or something for Gangs of New York. I'm sure he's clean at home. Sure she attends. Well, she probably doesn't attend to him, but that they're three stories in one loosely connected narrative, and Parker is in one of the episodes, Kira Sedgwick is in one of the others, awesome. And fantastic Firuza Balk.
Yeah,
gotta love her.
The craft for those
the
who...
Remember? And Guest Food Lodgings.
Oh, yeah.
Was, yeah, Alison Anders.
Wonderful 90s, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
90s these, films. Yeah. 90s is the new black, so
it,
they say.
It is, it is.
It
I'm ready to be
away.
Nostalgic, you
it
know.
Never go away. I still got my Nirvana t-shirts at home.
And that's one of two films that Parker Posey has actually received a nomination as back. Best Actress at the Independent Spirit Awards. Mm-hmm. So she was nominated for Personal Velocity and, what was the other one? She was a Broken English. She received a nomination for that film as
excellent.
Well. So good to see her getting some indie love as well from, you know, they're sort of the, they kind of sit alongside the Oscars as, well, the Independent Spirit Awards, I guess it's in the name. But yes.
Yes, she is a gem. Definitely a gem for...
She's a treasure.
Yeah. What's that? A national treasure. That's right. Excellent. So if you had to pick... What are you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say we mustn't forget to mention the Talking TV event on March 17 as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a live panel.
It is a live panel that our public programs unit has put together with some lovely people on it. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you who's going to be on it talking... and this, of course, will focus on Parker Posey's... television output, so all sorts of things. She's been on things like the C Word, Parks and Recreation, Louis, Portlandia, Bored to Death, Tales of the City, of course. So Penny Modra, Sinead Stubbins, Luke Buckmaster, and sorry, Bhakti, I'm going to get this wrong, Bhakti Puvanenturan from The Age will be on that panel talking about their personal responses to things they've loved from Parker on TV.
Yeah, because that's the thing. She's crossed over and, you know, she's able to do these things.
Yeah.
But I think it's because she's low profile. I mean, if she walked into the studio now, but most people would say, who is that?
Yeah.
And not us.
Not we'd us. We'd be like, oh, my God.
We'd be on the floor in a heap. Now, thinking about feminism, actually, do you find that her roles and herself, would she be a feminist icon?
Would she be a... She certainly, I think, qualifies as a feminist icon because she seems to have carved out a career that she seems comfortable operating in. You know,
she seems to be in control of it too.
Well, as much as you can be in control of an industry where people ask you if you want to work and you get to say yes or no, I think she is. Not by virtue of the fact that she isn't married or hasn't had children. I think that's just the whole point of feminism is you get to choose what's right for you. But I think certainly in the roles that she chooses to play and the films that she appears in, I think, she's deeply aware of and concerned about female agency. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Now, what would be one of your favourite films if you had to pick?
I should have been ready for this question. I think probably Faye Grimm is right up there for me. She doesn't just bring this to Faye Grimm, but you know, she's audacious, she's emotionally fearless, she's direct, she's funny as you know, she's really funny.
Yeah, she's so deadpan.
She is.
At the same time.
There's something so authentic about her.
Even
when maybe the characters she's playing are a little off balance or she's in the most extraordinary circumstances. You know, even when she's playing someone unsympathetic, and she sort of starts off being unsympathetic as Faye Grimm in Henry IV, but by the time we get to Faye Grimm, I think, you know, she's past that. That kind of the earlier kind of portrayal in Henry IV. She sort of matures as a character in Faye Grimm. I've lost the thread of what I was saying. Damn.
That's your favourite film?
I think it's my favourite Parker Posey film. Mm-hmm. There are others that were not included in the season for whatever reason. But in terms of the season, I would have to say Faye Grimm. She's great in For Your Consideration as well. And she's hilarious in Kicking and Screaming.
So it'll be her mascot will be her, what, fourth?
Fifth.
Fifth?
Yeah.
Oh.
Fifth, it'll be the fifth Christopher Guest directed film. And yeah, coming to Netflix.
Wow.
Not a cinema near you.
Well, look, Roberta, this is fabulous. Putting this together in praise of Parker Posey, running from the 13th of March to the 28th of March 2016 at ACMI. Any last thoughts about Parker and...
Oh, my.
If only she did a rock album, I reckon.
Oh, yeah, because
I know she dated Ryan Adams, because that's really important.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that I knew that.
Yes, yeah, well,
I don't know.
Muse, yeah.
Apparently she's, you know, she's really into pottery rather than parties.
Cool.
I don't know.
Right.
I'm not sure where I'm going with that.
Her ceramics, I want to look them up. Pottery.
Pottery.
Pottery with Parker Posey.
Parker Posey potters.
Jeez. Yes, well, I think that'll be interesting. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for speaking to us on Joy.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me here.
Thanks very much, Roberta.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you so much for listening to this interview with the curator of In Praise of Parker Posey, and that is with Roberta Chabara and me, Sonia Hammer, here on Joy in 94.9.
I've been thinking of ice cream and stuff and what I can do with it. Maybe come up with, we have a blizzard and we have a breeze. We have derbies, and the derbies are really old. They've been doing derbies, you know, the chocolate dip, for I think 20 years or something. I really want to sort of make a healthy, low-fat or non-fat, healthy blizzard.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.